Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let me say that these beautiful flowers are up here because yesterday Tom and Maggie Runnels celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Y'all stand up. 50 years right here. Let's give them a hand. Isn't that awesome? What a testimony. And these beautiful flowers are their gift to us today in worship. What a blessing. I want you to take out your bulletin, and I want you to look at a section in the bulletin. I need a bulletin, actually. I just gave my bulletin away. Thank you. I'd like for you to look at open up the flap here, and on the bottom right-hand corner of this flap, there is a little thing down there that says unhindered. Miss Amy Reed does a great job keeping us up to date on what unhindered is. We have been studying God's grace in a mixed up world in the book of Judges. I'm going to take a little parenthesis because we've come to a place kind of in our history that we need to just celebrate some things, and we need to pause as a church family and focus on something that will help us finish something well. And so I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our unhindered campaign and our giving. You know, it's always interesting when you talk about giving in the church. You know, it's interesting that 1,500 times in the Bible it talks about giving. It's amazing. Some folks have done research on it. They said the Lord talked more, Jesus himself talked more about giving than he did about hell. Now, we know hell's a real place, and it's true. I'm not diminishing that. But there's something unique about giving. I will say this to you in total transparency, trying to be transparent about this. That's different than total transparency, isn't it? But anyway, total transparency. Probably our tithing and giving as a Christian couple and as a family has deepened my spiritual life as much as anything I've ever done in the Christian life. I say that in all honesty. I think that the nerve that runs from a man's pocketbook to his heart is a sensitive nerve. But I really don't know any way around it. Now, there are places that say things about giving that have given giving a bad name. There are some people that teach you things about giving through maybe the television, or you've heard it from other places that give you a skewed version of what the Bible teaches about giving. But true stewardship, as found in God's Word, is one of the most freeing truths that ever impacts the Christian life. And quite frankly, I don't know any way around talking about it, because it is so crucial in our disciple making, in becoming the believer that Christ wants you to become. And we have embarked as a church. Some of you are newer in our fellowship. Matter of fact, I went back when I knew we were going to do this little unhindered recommitment time. On the 16th, okay? What is that, 2 weeks from today? We're gonna be talking about this today and next Sunday, and then on the 16th, we're not going to have evening church. We're just going to have life groups on Sunday morning, the 16th, and then one great service of celebration for what God has done up to this point. But we are basically 1 year out from finishing unhindered, okay? We're 1 year out from finishing our unhindered campaign. So some folks are new. But I went back. This is interesting for you to know this. We went back and looked at how many new members do we have since we talked about Unhindered when we began Unhindered in November of, what is that, 20? Help me. It's funny, when you're up here, you think you can think straight, but it's hard if you don't have it written down. 2 years ago would be 2014, right? So November of 2014, we launched this thing we called Unhindered. Since that time, we've had 140 new members to our fellowship. And I tell you something pretty exciting, about 45 or 50 of them have been this crowd right here in college ministry. And that's pretty awesome. So about 90 or so, you know, families and singles and couples and all of those folks. So it's really exciting time. Recently, someone who is a new member literally said this to one of our members: "What's this Unhindered thing?" Well, that said to me that we hadn't done as great of a job of maybe communicating that as we perhaps should have. So as you look at that, you can see that in the bulletin today, we have, our church has, at the total given to date, now this is from November of 2014 to now, up through last Sunday, $768,222.14. By the way, we know it to the penny. And I promise you, that's not my doings, okay? We know it to the penny because we got people that watch every single penny. And I think that the Lord's work ought to be done that way, don't you? And so that's what we try to do. So $768,222.14 has been given, is in our Unhindered account. What is happening is that 1 year from November, the mortgage on this property, the original mortgage that happened 13 or 14 years ago when the church moved to this property, is due. That means we got to pay the bill. We either got to pay the bill or we got to refinance it. And so our church decided about 6 or 7 years ago, about 6 years ago, that we needed to build an educational building. If you're new, where you go to Bible study, a lot of our classes, not all of our classes, but the 16 that meet out there, that wasn't here. And the church made a decision through some of our leadership teams that were elected by the church to study these things. They said, we need an educational building. So the church had a giving campaign over and above the tithe, over and above our regular budget giving, and we called it Above and Beyond, that God would do above and beyond all that we ask or think, the book of Ephesians says. And so that was our theme, and we raised all of that money. And with the idea that we would build that building debt-free, and then we would save the rest of it to go towards the paying off of this indebtedness. When we finished the Above and Beyond campaign, we said we need to go one more time because we need to raise the money to pay down this debt, if not pay it all off. At the rate we're headed right now, when we get to the end, we'll have $900,000 in ready to make that payment. That will put us $289,380.57 short. So if someone would like to just cut that check to make up that difference, and we'll have it all. The Lord has it all, doesn't he? The Lord has everything we need. I heard one pastor said, the Lord's got all the money in the world. The problem is it's in your pockets. But anyway. But let me say this. It's exciting. We have seen miracles take place, folks. I just want to tell you, kind of a fleshly thing. It has been a spiritual thing. Our church has embarked on something that has been huge. Now, we've seen people saved, we've seen people baptized, we have seen people go on mission trips, we've seen our college ministry grow, we've seen Chris added to our fellowship, we've seen some amazing things that have happened. God is touching spiritually, and this is one of them. This is just one facet. But it's something we need to talk about because we want to finish it well. So on the 16th, we're going to have that celebration service, and we're going to ask all of us to say, you know what, we have been faithfully giving, we have made a commitment 2 years ago, but we're reaffirming that commitment to finish well. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We have to finish well. We have to make sure we finish it out. And so we want to do that. So we embarked on a plan in November of 2014 to pay off about a $1.4 million indebtedness. Now, I want you to know that in our operating budget that we have, which is nearly $700,000 annual budget, and in that budget, nearly 20% of that budget is to make those payments. So here's the, and this is true of your own personal budget. If you eliminate or reduce incredibly significantly the amount that has to be in your regular budget for indebtedness, you eliminate that, all of a sudden you free up dollars to do with it what you want to do with it. Now, we don't do with it what we want to do with it. We want to do with it what He wants us to do with it in our fellowship here, right? And I know that's what you want for your own individual family. But I want you to know that about $135,000 of our budget every year is for to pay off debt. That's $11,500 per month we have budgeted in our church. But we have seen miracles. Can I tell you this? In our regular giving, if you take our regular giving over the last 5 years, and then you add to it what our people have given sacrificially over and above our regular giving, we have given over, and there's more. I'm doing it very conservatively. There's more, I promise you. It could probably be $5 million, but I'm scared to say that if I couldn't get it to the penny. So I'm saying numbers that I know are true, there's no question about it. We have given over the last 5 years $4.5 million to the life of this church. That is over $900,000 per year. Our budget has been anywhere from $650,000 to $700,000. So you think about it. Our people have subscribed or have given towards that budget. We have not hit the budget. Like if we had a budget of $675,000, a lot of times we come in at $640,000. We haven't given totally all the budget, but we made a commitment. We'll never spend what we don't overspend what we don't have. Is that good? You like that? Okay. That was a good place for an amen, but it's okay. I'm with you. But let me say this. So when you take what we've given in our budget and then you add to it what our people have sacrificially given in building that building, and by the way, we paid for that building, every penny of it, with the money that God's people raised up. And what a joyous thing it was. Can I just tell you this? Our church celebrates that because it's a miracle of God. We just raise the money and just, we thought of an idea. Let's just pay cash. Cash works. It works. They took it. They took it. And so we built that building, and then we've saved, and God has done miracles, and we have tried to guard it. So you'll know this, we have an elected stewardship committee that runs roughshod. I mean, they look over everything that happens in our church. Brother Mike Weldon, who prayed today, is a chairman. He's our new chairman of our stewardship committee, and so he is the chairman. We have other members of that committee. And they meet monthly, and they evaluate our expenditures and things. So they look at getting every penny out of everything that you give for that. So here's our vision for the 16th. I just want you to have this, church family. And I want to show you something from God's Word that I think will be encouraging to us all. Our goal is that in the next 3 weeks, it would just be an encouragement for all of us to be proper stewards of all that the Lord has given to us individually as families. We need that checkup. I need that checkup. Number two, to finish this campaign well. We want to finish this well. We want to reaffirm our commitment for those who have been involved and finish well. The third thing we want to do is we want to give all of our new folks at least the education of what this is all about and give them an opportunity in this last year. It's really 13 months if you count all of it to the very end. It's about 13 months of giving. We give all of our new folks an opportunity to be involved as God leads them. Now, can I say this to you? You can be involved in Bible study. You can do all kinds of things for the Lord's work that are incredible. It's very important. But until, and set aside unhindered now, okay, just set that. I'm just talking about giving. I'm talking about as a Christian couple, as a Christian family. You know, it's funny. I can say this to you with total boldness. I have no squeamish bone in my body in saying this and declaring this to you. Until you give Christ your resources and you say, Jesus Christ, help me be a steward of all you have given me, you will always struggle in your spiritual life. I'm telling you. And I do not apologize. I am not worth my weight in salt as your pastor if I was not honest with you to tell you that. There are people who all their Christian life struggle for victory because they have never given Jesus Christ their finances. The Lord has given us an amazing plan in His Word of how to do this. So I just wanted to share with you quickly a message, just some points here quickly. A bold challenge from a big God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. A bold challenge from a bold God. A bold challenge from a big God. A bold challenge from the Lord Himself. Now, there's three things that I just want you to think about as you give. First of all, the Bible is all about giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. Listen, I love this saying, when you hook your wagon to Jesus Christ, you become a giver. Amen. You just can't help it. You have been so freely given to. Hey, listen, just sit back and think about the blessings you have. Boy, it was just so stark to me this week in Cuba. What a great people. What a great people. It's a whole different culture, a whole different economy. The greatest gift of all is the Lord Jesus. The greatest gift of all. But I will say this to you, as we go out of this place today, you're a blessed person to be in this country right now. I just tell you. I mean, it is an amazing. It's an amazing blessing. And so when you think about, but let me say this. I saw in the eyes of those folks who did not have economically what we have, I saw in them a deep, abiding joy that was from Christ Himself. So here's what I want to say to you. Your gratitude for Jesus Christ is not based upon you're in a Western country with a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, can I tell you this? Some of the most miserable people on this planet have a lot of stuff. I had an attorney friend who served a very wealthy couple. Creditors were after them. They made a tremendous salary, but they had mismanaged their wealth. Creditors were after them. They were in a deposition. He could tell that the woman was under duress, so he said to the other jurists that were there, he said, "Excuse me, could we take a little brief break for a restroom break or a glass of water?" They said, "Oh, sure." Took a break, and so he went out and grabbed some water. When he came back, his client, this very, very wealthy, at least income-wise, person, lady was on the floor in a fetal position. He said to me, "Calvin, that's when I knew happiness didn't equal having stuff." So, a bold challenge from a big God. I just want to say to you, I don't know where this is going to land on some of you. Get your finances under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm not even talking about this unhindered. Now, I'm hoping we do okay, all right? I'm just being honest. I'm hoping we do okay. But let's set this aside. I want to challenge you to let Christ get in the middle of your finances. Hey, listen, the reason I'm getting emotional is because when I was a kid and I got saved, I had a pastor who got up and said this to me, and I'm going to say it to you because I'm hoping some other person will, it'll hit them like it hit me. And it was very simplistic. By the way, if your theology is so amazingly superior to everyone else's that no one else can understand it, then I think you're off base. A child has to be able to understand the things of God. Well, anyway, I needed a child's approach, evidently. And my pastor said this. He said, "Let me tell you something in economics." He said, "One plus one equals two." Okay, I can handle that, Pastor. Then he said this, and I've never forgotten it. One plus one plus God equals anything God wants it to equal. He said, you give Christ, and he was challenging us to tithe. Now, tithe, the word tithe in the Bible means tenth. And the program, the basic program for giving in the Christian life is that we tithe. It's that we get the money that we receive the money that the Lord has given us through our work, and we take 10% of it, and we give it to the Lord's work. Now, I would argue, this is not the service to make this argument, but I would argue that that is the local New Testament church. There's some reasons for that. In the Old Testament, they gave to a place they called the storehouse. In Corinthians, it says, lay by him in store, same word. And it gives the indication that the local New Testament church is a place that is to be given. Then you give offerings over and above the tithe. As a matter of fact, let me say this. This unhindered thing is all over and above the tithe. If you write a check to this church for $10, you put unhindered, it does not go to pay the light bill. It does not go to help the youth ministry. It does not go in our budget. It is put away for the unhindered campaign. So I'm praying that those that give to unhindered will be tithers first to the regular giving of the church and then give over and above the tithe. So, one plus one equals two. One plus one plus God equals anything the Lord wants it equal. We give, here's one quick point. We give out of gratitude for the past. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, look at this. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're to give cheerfully. Now, you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Out of the blessings of God, we give. So our giving is impacted by our past, all right? We give for what God is going to do in me in the present. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And by the way, chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are all about Paul who was collecting an offering. And so there's a lot of principles in these two chapters about giving, and that's why I'm kind of in both of these chapters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." So in the present, we give ourselves to the Lord first. The Lord doesn't need our money. Kelly's dad has a saying that he's always said to me. He said, "Calvin, tithing is not God's way of raising money. It's God's way of raising his children." Amen. Boy, that's a power-packed statement. God does not need our money, but the Lord uses tithing and giving to raise me up, okay? And then the last thing I want to say is this, that we give as we look to the future. Now, in chapter 9, verse 6, it says this. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." In other words, there's the principle of sowing and reaping. In Malachi, it says, "Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, saith the Lord." And then the Lord says this, "And prove me herewith, saith the Lord." Now, that's the old King James Version I memorized when I was a kid. "And prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." God makes us an amazing promise. When you tithe and when you give, you can't outgive him. The blessings come. Now, that doesn't mean, let me make this clear. It doesn't mean you get the payment in money. I want to make that clear. Some people say, you know, come up here and I'll wipe, you know, they give you, some people they say, I'll send you a handkerchief. And if you give, pay a thousand, I saw something the other day on television. I was flipping and a guy said, "Sow $1,000 and you'll get 100, you know, he was talking about all this you're going to get back in money. You may not get one dime of the money back. But you know, folks, blessings are not just in money. Blessings, the greatest blessings, you can't buy with money. And so, but God makes us a promise. He says, if you give, it will affect your future. Now, let me say this. That scripture, they gave first of themselves, and then they gave the money. I just want to say that I think the greatest thing you could do today outside of giving your life to Christ. Now, if you're here today, all of this begins in beginning a relationship with Jesus. Christianity is a relationship with God. It begins with that. That's the most important decision you ever make in your life, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life." So the most important thing you need to do is to give your life to Christ. If you have done that, I just believe with all my heart that you ought to just, in prayer as we sing this invitation, say, "Lord, I don't know all that it means, but I want you to teach me, because I want you to be Lord over all the resources you've given me." It will send you into a new victory, I believe with all of my heart, in your Christian life. Because when the Lord gets a hold of all that we have, When he has control, he becomes Lord, is when the blessings really begin to come in our spiritual life. And I encourage you to do that. So for the next, on the 16th, we're going to have a special day. And I want you to pray, church. I don't know any other way to say it. I learned this early on as a pastor. When you have something going on, you have a need, you tell the Lord and you tell the people. I found that to be pretty good advice. You tell the Lord, Lord, we're finishing up this Unhindered campaign, and I want to tell the people, church family, I want to ask you to pray about it. Pray that God would help us finish well and that we could see incredible victory. I don't know what the Lord may do in the next year. We may watch the Lord do incredible miracles and see the whole thing paid off. That would be amazing. I tell you, the Lord is so good to us. And so I want you to pray about it. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the cross that they sang about, that one line gets me, where it says death, does it say death is, love has won, but it says death has died, love has won. Hallelujah. I love that. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah. That's really what we celebrate. It's not complicated, folks. We come in here every week to celebrate that right there. Death has died and love has won. Our lives are changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. If you do not know Christ, though, Jesus died on that cross for you. And he wants to know you personally.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.